Hello.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello. Welcome to Doctrine of Truth. Your host, Bishop Poole. We'd like to have you as an express your opinion here and be of views on and subject today to be our special guest. Today we're discussing about love and forgiveness and why we need to love one another. God created us, and he created a family, and he wants us to forgive one another and love one another. And even though we have a lot of troubles and trials and tribulation today in the world, and of course we will have some problems and disagreements and misunderstanding from each other indirectly or directly, and it can create some problems. It can create some problems with you. It can create some problems with the world. But God so loved the world. You know, that's a great love. He loved the world. And because he died for you, you know, he died for you. He carried your sorrows and your problems, and he carried the situation in your lives before you even born. And Jesus said in Isaiah 61:1, the Isaiah prophet was writing, the major prophet, he said he came to heal the broken hearts. You know, God came to heal the broken hearts, and that's what the cross is about. He buried our troubles and our grief and carried our sorrows. So in Isaiah 53 and Isaiah 61, we have to understand that, you know, people love one another and partners, and they carry their they carry them in their mind and soul continuously all day long, every hour. Same applies to hate. When you hate someone, somebody wronged you, and you don't forgive them, you carry them all through your life. And when you carry them in your life, in your mind, there's no other room sometimes to absorb the surroundings of life. You know, God created the heaven and the earth, and we always make this statement. We have to express what God I'm talking about, because there are many other gods in this world. Jesus died for all of us, and he loved all of us, and he cared for all of us. And he's concerned about what you have in your mind. He's concerned about what you have on your mind, and you carrying, you know, if you see people going through the airport, they're pulling luggage, someone else is bringing luggage. And this is also what's happening to you. If you don't forgive, God said, I won't forgive you. And we keep forgetting, you know, forgiving, that he died for our forgiveness of sin. He took his sin because we cannot come before God with this. So we have a caller, and we thank you for calling today, and we'd like to share, and we'd like to hear from you. Because we are Doctrine of Truth Grassroots. Caller, go ahead. Good morning. Good morning, Bishop.
This is Williams calling. How are you doing this morning?
Okay, good to have you, sir. How are you?
Fine, thank you. Yeah, I just want to comment on your topic this morning about forgiveness and love. And, you know, I guess most of us humans realize we tend to equate love with just a husband and a wife, you know, a man loving a woman, and that's it. But the Bible really talks about basically about four kinds of love, and we need to understand that that makes a difference, because especially, well, let's take the love between a brother and a sister, a family member. That's the love we talk about when we talk about a family kind of love. Right. And then there's the love between friends. We may have a best friend who we love dearly, you know, maybe the closest friend we have. That's another kind of love. And then, of course, there's the love between a husband and a wife. That's that very intimate kind of love. But the love that God really talks about in the Bible, of course, in the Greek, it's called the agape love, is the love that he has for us.
Right.
Because God looks past all of our faults, all of our inadequacies, everything that we're failing in, and he loves us regardless. And in the book of Corinthians, it talks about really 15 different characteristics of love. And this is the love that God has for us. God, he's long-suffering with us. He doesn't act unseemingly toward us. Everything he does is for our benefit. He's kind. He does, you know, he does not exalt himself over us. He wants us to come to him. He believes all things. He hopes all things. God has that love that says, in spite of what you are, in spite of your deficiencies, in spite of what you're lacking in life, I still love you. I set my son to die for you because I know there's something. I put a treasure inside of you, and I want you to awaken to that treasure. And I'm looking past all the gunk that's covering up the treasure, and I see something in you. And this is the kind of love he wants us to have for one another. It's difficult, as you mentioned, when we're hurt, we want to forgive, but that's the kind of love God really wants. He shows us, he's shown us through Jesus, and we need to show to one another.
Okay, God bless you. You laid the foundation for us. Now we have another caller. Thank you for calling, brother. We have another caller on the air. Caller, you are on the air.
Bishop Poole?
Yes.
This is Brother O'Brien, West Palm Beach, Florida.
Yes, sir. Go right ahead. We're talking about love between one another.
Yes, you know, the gentleman spoke a wise doctrine a moment ago about love. And, you know, I'm one here to say a family love is one of the most precious love that you can give.
Okay.
Because I myself came from a large family, and my mother had 13 children.
Oh, praise God.
In fact, I'll be 75 on March 31st of this year.
Wow.
Thank God for that.
Thank God. Thank God.
And I show you about love in the time that I've been in the ministry of the gospel. I booked and promoted gospel singers.
Okay.
And they are... I've never taken a dime because I had the love for the groups and the love for the church.
Okay.
So what I did, I would donate all the funds that we raised to the churches. Now, some people said that they didn't think it was the right thing to do, but I did because I have the love for the people.
Okay.
And to get back to the family problem, I think my family is about as much as any one person could love their family.
Okay, by giving.
By giving. See, I don't just give to my family.
Okay.
Any person that I know that needs my help through the ministry, I apply it. I give to, we have benefits. We have an organization called Anointed Productions.
Okay.
And I'm quite sure you are affiliated with that organization.
Yes, sir.
And you know of it personally. And, you know, we never take money. We always help churches and the poor people.
Okay.
That's what we reach out to. We don't want to reach out to the people that already got it. That's just like a minister. He don't need to reach out to the people he got in the church. He needs to reach out to the people that are out of the church and don't know God.
Okay, we appreciate Brother Jerry, I know you can express yourself. We have some more callers, but you hold on the line a while, and we'll let you come back.
Okay.
All right. Caller, okay. We'll find so far that now, you know, God has agape love and also that he's a giver. So when you love, you give. You love, you give, sacrifice, sometimes sacrifice it all the time. Sometimes we forget you know, that love does sacrifice and give. Okay, caller, we have another caller on the air about love and forgiveness. Go ahead, caller. Hello, you're on
Hello?
The air. Yes.
Hello?
Yes.
Mr. Poole?
Yes.
Oh, praise the Lord. It's Sister Kathy.
Good to hear from you.
Love is something that, as humans, we have to develop and learn the love of God, because when we're born, we don't have that innocence. We got that separated from us from in the garden.
Okay.
God's way is far from our way.
Okay.
So in order to love somebody, you got to understand and get to know God in order to love somebody, not in the fleshly way, but to love
right.
them in a sincere way.
Right.
Love has many avenues that it travels. Sometimes it's in giving something physically. Sometimes it's in saying something that will restore or bring a person to be whole. So it's many things that we can say about love, but the main thing is that you have to know God and the love that, first of all, that he loves you, and
right.
that in his love for you, he puts up with a lot of stuff that you do.
Okay.
You have your good days and your bad days, but God still deals with you each and every day. And we have to learn to deal with each other each and every day. And that's it.
Okay. God bless you, Sister Kelly, for calling.
God bless you.
God bless you. Yes, bye-bye. And we find that love has to be developed with God constantly, even though we have problems. And that's where we are, you know. But also we have problems. And the problems, the situation we have all the time is pertaining to, you know, one another. And we ourselves must understand that, yes, God is love, and God wants us to love one another. But don't take it upon yourself that you made a mistake and God don't love you no more. We have another caller. You know, you made mistakes, and we're talking about unforgiveness and love this morning. We have another caller. Caller, you on the air. God bless you.
Hello?
Yes.
This is Elder Vickers.
Yes, God bless you, Elder Vickers, a wonderful man of God. How are you this morning?
Wonderful, blessed, man. That's a pretty good subject that you're on this morning about love and forgiveness.
Right.
And, you know, when we look at that word, it's just a little smaller word, L-O-V-E, love.
Okay.
But love is an action word.
Okay.
You know, you just can't just go out and say it, but it
mm-hmm.
calls you react to one another. You know,
right.
I can't be first love someone unless we have the Spirit of God in us.
Okay.
And how can we forgive without loving that person?
Okay.
You know, and we got to show that same compassion for one another as mm-hmm. God has shown us. When we were yet sinners, God loved us.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What greater love that is. When God loves you and you have that same godly spirit of loving one another.
Right. All right. All right.
It's good.
All right. All right. God bless you. You have to love one another. Thank you. Thank you for calling. And you
all right.
Have a wonderful, God bless you. God bless
all
you.
Right.
Wonderful man of God about love. And we have to love one another and everything. We have another caller. We have to love one another. So we have to understand as well, you know, we carry a lot of baggage when we don't forgive. We carry a lot of because the Bible it says that, you know, unforgiveness dries the bone. You know, you constantly have this person on your mind or something that happened on your mind, and you're aware of it all the time. You're aware of it all the time. And we have to understand that the mind itself, you know, is born in sin, and all information and the lifestyle that we accumulated through living – up to that point, you have to decide that are you going to follow the Word of God, you're going to practice the Word of God, or you want to continue in the warfare. What Paul was saying in Romans 7, 22 and 23, he said he finds that there's a warring in his members. He finds that he's always warring against his members that, you know, the law of flesh and blood and the law of God and the things that he had found when he become aware of God's word, reading God's word and praying, God make him aware of some of the things that he was trying to live with. We have another caller. Unforgiveness. You got to forgive. If you forgive, then God will forgive you. All right, we have another call on the line. But also understanding that people get sick. They get sick from worration and stress. Okay, we have a caller. Caller, you're on the line. Go ahead, caller, you're welcome. Thank you for calling. Caller, you're on the line. When you get sick, hello? Hello? Okay, hello? You're on the line, caller.
Hello, Bishop. This is Brother Williams again. I was disconnected. Unfortunately, my phone went out for the moment, and I'm back online now.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Go ahead. You have anything else to say?
Yes. In reference to, of course, charity and love, you know, I love the King James Bible because it uses what I feel is really the proper words to describe the situation. And the brother just recently called, talked about love being an action word, and that's what charity is. Of course, you know, we get we hear the word charitable organizations now, you know, of people giving money, giving time to a charitable organization. And that just describes what the brother said about love is giving. And I always, when I think of love and I think of charity, I'm focused on the Bible in 1 Corinthians 13. Of course, many Christians know about this chapter. It's called the chapter of love.
Right,
because
right.
It's simply telling us that I have to put up with a lot of stuff that my flesh disagrees with.
Right.
Because
right.
The old man told me that I cursed, I was angry, I didn't forgive people, I couldn't forgive people, I was a vengeance seeker. But now that I'm in Christ, now that the blood of Jesus has covered all of that old creature, I mean, I was a creature. Now God says you have to put up, suffer with other people's errors, just like
right.
I suffered with yours. And I've always felt that the very essence of salvation, the very significance of the very importance of God coming into our lives has to do with forgiveness, the word forgiveness.
Right,
and this is how
right.
God comes into our lives, because we come to him and say, God, forgive me for what I did wrong. And and God says, because you have a sincere heart and you want me to erase all the evil that you've done against me and against man, against your family, because your sincerity of heart, I am going to forgive you. And one
right.
thing the enemy, our devil, uses to fight us is in unforgiveness.
Okay.
Because he knows
right.
that's how you get to God. So he
all
really
right.
a strong, it's a very, very real stronghold in the life of a Christian trying to forgive. And Satan will use any situation, any person he can to offend you just so that you will be in the place of unforgiveness.
Right.
And,
very good.
And God is saying, I want you to suffer. I want you to just not act crazy because someone ticked you off.
Okay.
You've got to just bear with them, because I'm looking at you as you bear with them, see what
okay.
you want to do. I told you what not to do, and I want to see what you're going to do.
All right. Thank you for calling. God bless you again. And very needful. We have to, like Paul was saying in the book of Romans, that we have to renew our mind. We have to renew our mind according to the scripture. We have to renew our mind to be transformed from this world. We have to renew our mind, and we have to practice this. We have to practice. One caller said we have to practice You know, we have to develop the love of God towards others. You know, God owns this whole world. And people cannot intimidate him or pressure him to destroy the whole world. There are other gods out there. They say that they have power because of the methods they use to convince people to be followers of them. But the God that we serve, you know, the God creator of heaven and earth and everything in it, the moon, the stars, he cannot be intimidated. He invested so much in us. His son died for all of us. And the position that we are taking today is that you're eliminating your growth. You can't see what's tomorrow or the benefits by carrying one item along with you. Yes, it hurts. It does hurt. It does hurt. You've been disappointed. And there's a spirit of, I think, is very, very detrimental to many others are, but this encouragement. You ever notice that when you're about to get, you're motivated to do something and something happened and someone or somebody come by and they want to discourage you. You know, instead of encouraging, they're disencouraging you. You can't do that. You shouldn't do that. And when Paul had to renew his mind, he said, I can do all things in Christ, you know, that strengthened me. But when we begin to come out of the world as babes in Christ and practicing the word of God, we make mistakes and we have bad choices and sometimes bad investments. And, we get sick, we get hurt. But because of the fact we're so used to depending on others, you know, we have to love one another, but depending and trusting in others. One of the prophets said, Jeremiah said, curses a man that trusts in man and make help his arm. You know, there's limitation to the human being. There's a limitation. But God uses one another. God uses each other. God is he believes in families. And when we stop loving, you know, a person or people to the extent that they cannot help you, they have nothing to offer to you in building your life from day to day. Many of us can look back and say, oh, it was my neighbor. Thank God it was my neighbor. Oh, the gentleman stopped alongside of the road and he helped me in my car. Oh, I thank God for him. Thank you. Whatever title you want to give, if you're not a Christian or not, you're not really strong in Christ, you have to learn how to move on to the next step. You have to learn how to confront it, put a raincoat on, you know, put your hat on if it's cold, put a coat on if it's raining and cold. You know, your goulashes, ride a bicycle. You got to learn how to move on to the next level in life because, you know, we grow from day to day. And Ecclesiastes was saying one time, there's a time for everything. And you're going to miss your other time zones in life, other seasons in life, because you want to stay in the summer. And you know right now, it's in certain parts of the United States, and the world, the climate is worse, is, you know, blizzards and storms. And here you were standing out there, you know, with short pants on and shades on. And come on, you know, wake up. We got to move on because life is moving on. And God is not saying that you're not hurt. For Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. He came to heal the brokenhearted. He came to mend up, put back together. And he knows our suffering. He knows our trials and tribulation. If you'd like to call in, you can call in at 1-347-215-8816. 1-347-215-8816. This is Doctrine of Truth, your host, Bishop Poole. And we're talking about love. We're talking about unforgiveness. And how can we make it work today? What is workable today? What is workable? How can we overcome? And one principle I've learned throughout, man need to talk. We need to communicate. We need to socialize with somebody. You know, if you notice the animal kingdom, they have groups. They have different type of animals. They live together. They always communicate together. We as human, we need to talk. God gave us vocal cords and intelligence to relate to one another. And the doctrine of truth, trying to break it down to the grassroots, that we can learn one from another. You know, what's workable? What's workable? What can, through all the theology and all the talk and, you know, theories, what works? What works for you? What worked for you? I found that, you know, writing letters, recording things from day to day, you might at this point say, oh, I'm not going to make it tomorrow. But if you write it down, write yourself a letter, write it down, and go through it. And at the end of the day, let's see how you're feeling. You know, let's see how you're feeling at the end of the day. Or hold that, mail it to you, back to yourself. Write letters. You know, if you're not sure you'll be able to speak to anyone about your problem, you know, you're not be able to share what you're going through, call someone if you're not sure that person going to, we got two callers, that we had some callers on the line. If you're not sure that person will going to share it with others, write yourself a letter. And above all, the most important of all, you know, prayer, talking to God. God himself, always listening. He's always listening. Even though people doesn't, you know, they claim that, you know, they don't care about this God, they don't care about that God, but he's always listening. He's always listening. I found that prayer will take you to the next day, the next step, the next hour. Prayer will take you because you're communicating with God. You know, Jesus, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he knew he had to go through a problem. He knew his purpose to come here and to suffer and take all of these problems off of us, all mankind. He died for all people. And he knew, and he promised, Father, if be thy will, take this cup from me. You know, he prayed. So prayer, not at one time, but he prayed three times. You know, prayer. A Jew say, build up your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Prayer. The more you pray, the more strength you got. The more strength, because you're able to, what, to vent. You're able to express yourself. You're able to let go. You know, you'll be sharing it with God. And, you know, we say, well, what prayer to pray? I always like to pray the model prayer, Our Father, which art in heaven. You know, because it covers a whole area. It covers all the areas. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. You know, that model prayer covers all areas of our life. So writing letters, I find it works. You can write yourself a letter, keep your journal, and, you know, carry it around. And, you know, those that feel that they can't live another day, or I can't make it another hour, another minute, you know. Once you accept Christ, and this is one of the keys of burden carrying, and, you know, number one, he doesn't put no more on you, more than you can bear. You know, let's take, for instance, sports. The athletes that are in their training process, and, you know, through prayer and practicing, writing letters and talking to others, you know, developing a relationship with God, you know, you begin to build a trust with him. So the athletes, they go out there, they train their bodies. They get to know their bodies, and they get a survey, say, well, you got to do this amount of time. You got to be able to lift this amount of weight. So they're always working every day training. Or what are the training time? They're getting their rest. They're eating properly. They're reading books. They're getting coaching. That's for the natural man. The spiritual man need to pray, talk to God, talk to God. Paul had said once, a man should always pray, pray without ceasing. You know, so get up in the morning, get up in the morning to start off your day with a prayer. Start off your day with a prayer. The next thing you should do is read your Bible. Read your Bible, if not but a verse or two verses. Or, you know, if you're really rushing and really need, you need to slow down, you know, but if you can't, then put on some Bible tapes. You know, hear the Word of God. Hear the Word of God. Feed the inner man. Sometimes we forget about the inner person. That's the person that's been hurt. That's the person that's been hurt. You know, your heart been broken. Your mind is, you know, you're discouraged. And that spirit of discouragement comes back, you know, and people want to discourage you through jealousies or strife, some kind of way they want to discourage you. And, you know, the hurt manifests itself. You bent yourself in the wrong way. But forgive, forgive is a part of repentance. There's a doctrine called repentance. You know, you got to forgive. And once you accepted Christ, you have to forgive. There's a forgiveness. You have to forgive. And that makes room for God. That makes room for God. You have to clean out, you know. Forgive constantly, if every hour of the day. You know, I know you did me wrong, but I'm going on. I'm not going to stay here with you in my mind. I'm not going to stay here thinking about you. You know, no. No, I'm going to move on. And God concerned about your mind. So athlete train and train. So when they do come before their opponent, they do come for an opponent in a race, you know, they're training and they're sacrificing. They'd be so confident that, yes, we're going to run this race, but I'm going to win it. And many times we don't prepare ourselves by praying, 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 reading, 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 and find a place of fellowship. Find a place of fellowship of what you believe in. And in finding this, you know, you have to seek out. You have to seek out listening to others, even to this radio broadcast. You know, there's all levels in Christianity, all levels in Christ. There's all levels in Christ. Those, the babes that are starting out, you know, it's so much disinformation today. And Jesus said it would be in these last days. People will be lying in all offices, all types of level. They'd be just plain lying. And Proverbs says that a liar profit little. A lie does profit, but very little. You know, very short. You can tell a lie sometimes. Next hour, you know that, oh, that person lied to me. But they got away because they told a lie. But it's not going to profit them in the long run. So write a letter. Write a letter. What's workable? What's workable? It might be someone out there. Someone else has a workable idea to help to forgive. To forgive. You must forgive. You have to forgive in order that you can live on, in order that you can enjoy the other parts of life, the other benefits that God has for you. You know, you might have thought about what on your way in a great career, but someone disappointed you or you made the wrong choice. And you can't overcome that. You can't overcome that. And one thing I find out in dealing with unforgiveness, you have to be in the right environment. You have to be in the right circles. Choose your circles wisely. Choose your circles wisely. You know, many years ago, and coming into the ministry and thinking back, many years ago, I had to go back into the church. Church closed down. I had to go back into the church. and had to open the church again and get something out. As I was walking out, you know, the Lord expressed in my mind, you know, the word of God, when God speak to you, it engulfs your whole being, you know, like a microphone speaking in a building, and you can't hear nothing else but that voice. He said, when you find two people walking together, one is a minister for the devil. Now, you say, well, I don't understand that. Well, some of you, probably in your coming up in life, there was always, they call them bullies today, but maybe it wasn't a bully, but a person that had more influence, always come by and pick you up or call you, and you was the one that did all the dirty work. You was the one that always, you know, was the slave or the handyman for them. And you really didn't have a life. You was always running around, you know, working for them. And but inside you, and you as a person, you really didn't have this life, but you just, you know, you didn't have nothing else, really no other purpose in life. And you find out that you had to live with them and for them because they was controlling your life. So you watch that, you know, especially of our young people. The strong influence, the person that always dynamic and one that always calling on your child, you know, you watch that and see where their spiritual life is about. See, you know, whether they go to church or whether they read the Bible, or even the parents, you know, they might need your help. And we ourselves, as parents and as listeners, that's our mission. That's our mission in life, because children can get hurt too. Children can get hurt. They have a lot of unforgiveness in them. You know, divorce, homeless situations are happening. Economies, a lot of economy problems, and the children get hurt. They feel that they should have a better life, or the parents abandoned them, and they are in foster care. They don't have anyone else, and they lashes out. You know, they hide under hate. They hiding unforgiveness. They hiding behind it, and develop another character that they know they have to survive. But we as parents, we as adults, we have obligation. If you know someone that's going through that, you should be able to. Just give a word, whatever it takes, to let them know, you know, somebody loved them, God loved them. Encouraging word, you know, they have so many discouraging things that are happening and being talked down, but just encouraging words. And God brought you through, you know, he can bring them through. Pray for them. Prayer. Praying change things. God can take people through problems. God can make another day. God can help you through another day. You know, that's workable. That's workable. Prayer is workable. And writing letters to yourself, you know, and pick it up tomorrow. Write a letter today to yourself. Then, you know, get up tomorrow and read it. You know, write down your feelings and how you thought about this and thought about that. Then do some research. And other people, that there are some people that really get hurt. They don't mention it too much. That are pastors, the ministers, they get hurt. They have to deal with all types of people. Whosoever will, Jesus, they let them come. And they come through the doors. They listen to them and they talk and do the best they can. They give their life to them emotionally, physically, trying to help them recover and be delivered. And they turn right around and, you know, slander their name and whatever. But how do they continue in the ministry? By prayer and talking to God and staying in God's word. Those are some unsung heroes. The little churches or big churches, the pastors, they've been the pastor's wife, they've been hurt, talked again, talked down. Ministers, deacon wife, those that are really struggling, trying to help others. Because Jesus said, by this you shall know that they are mine, if we have love one to another, the children come in, you know, well, broken homes, broken families. They try to do the best we can. And people get hurt. They get hurt. They come in hurting. And we know that prayer, writing letters, and showing love, love covers a multitude of sin. That's why the church living now on love. If you don't have love, you have to develop love, and you got to practice God's word. We have to practice God's word. If you'd like to call in, you'd be our guest and express on some of the things we have said, you can call in at 347-215-8816. 1-347-215-8816. This is Doctrine of Truth, and we try to hold the broadcast on a grassroots level that we can learn from one another on how to face in times like this, facing our problems and facing difficulties. Our Back Again mission is on our young people. If you have some family members, children, grands, and you are in Christ, don't turn your back on them. Say, oh, they're too hard. You know, the situation is too difficult. Well, who you expect to reach them if you're not going to show love or compassion or spend a little time with them? You want others to come over, and let's say everybody waiting on somebody to come to visit your house, to visit your relatives, and to lead them to Christ. You know, maybe you had promised them something, promised them your time, your energy, and you walked away and said, well, I'll get you tomorrow. Oh, God sent somebody. But you are the person. You are the one. And that's your mission. That's your mission in life. I don't really understand what you're saying, Bishop. I don't understand what you're saying. Let's say you want $1 million today, and you told everybody know it. You say, well, I'm not sure, but I'm not going to take you all on a vacation. I'm not going to share the money with you, help you on your bills. I'm going to let somebody else do it, you know, and you take off. And you left them hurt because they knew that you have what they need. They know that you have what they need, but you wouldn't share it. You wouldn't share it. They know that you are a Christian. They know you're a Christ-like, and they watch you through trials and tribulations and situations, and God has held you up. God has kept you with the right mind. God has given you the strength to stand. And they are dependent on you to stand. They really depended on. They really think that you, what you have is what they need. Now you have to share that. You have to share your obligation to share that with them. You have to share that with them. That's your mission in life, to share what God has given you and to share what you're going through and how did you go through, to share it. But you feel that you want somebody else to do it, you want somebody else. But what about you? What about you? Do you feel that, you know, somehow or another that your old man is talking to you saying that let somebody else do it? Is that the old man or is it the new man? What about it? Have you ever thought about it? You know, your mission is to help those around you. Start from your family and work out. You know, you have to let them know as simple as possible. I love you, and I'm sorry if I did anything against you. I'll try to help you much as possible. If I don't have it, but maybe I'll find somebody that do have it, you know, and we have to network with others. You might not have our heart go out to helping people, but you can't do it all yourself. So you try to find other things and other means to help those. You know, well, I can't get involved in it, and I don't know what involvement. Well, do your research first and go as far as you can go and say, okay, I have a list of things, a list of items here. I can't help you, but here, you know, here's some names and some people you can call. They can help you in your situation. You know, that's workable. That's workable today. We're talking about unforgiveness and forgiveness, you know, the spirit of discouragement. It happens, and it will happen because we have a problem. We go living a problem life. We have a caller. A caller, you're on the air. Do we have a caller? Caller, you're on the air.
Yes, Bishop. I wanted to comment on you made quite a few interesting points, and I wanted to comment on one point about prayer.
Okay.
As you said earlier. And it's about, it's interesting that you made the statement of venting. When we go to God in prayer and talk to Him, especially in the case of, we're talking unforgiveness and forgiveness, when you tell God how you feel about mm-hmm. the hurt and the pain,
right.
we're venting. And we all have experienced venting because people come to me and I'm sitting in a seat and this person, a stranger, comes to me and for 10 minutes talks about his problem.
Okay.
And then he has to get up and go and says, thank you for letting me vent. And,
okay.
and this is what God is saying to us. Come to me and tell me why you feel the pain you feel, why you feel the unforgiveness, why you hurt. I know what happened. I see what happened. I know what happened in your life. But I need you to come to me and tell
right.
me how you feel, because I'm the one who can fix it, not the other people. I'm the one who can fix it. And when we vet like that, when we tell God exactly how we feel, I hate them, I'm disgusted with them, they just did this to me, they shouldn't have done it, and you tell God about that, that venting causes God to release, that's like pressure being released from a pressure valve. And all
right.
the pressure that's
right.
been released, and then God moves in now and begins the healing process.
Right.
But we have to make that first move, as you said. And I'm going to have to go, of course, but one thing that really always stands out to my mind about forgiveness, and I've been in a situation where I've had to forgive people for something they've done to me. And the one thing that God showed me that works every time to know when you have actually released the pain is that
mm-hmm.
when you remember the situation, you remember what happened, you can't forget what happened, that's going to be there. So
right.
the point is, when you remember it, if there's no more pain associated with it, you have forgiven that individual.
Right.
And the
right.
key element is no more pain. You want to remember, no more pain is there when you think about it, and you can now live the rest of your life, as you already stated, unhindered, not letting that situation, not the person, but not letting that situation be effective in your life, living in yesterday when you have a tomorrow.
Right.
Living in yesterday's pain when you have a tomorrow happiness, a tomorrow joy. So. We have to, as the key is, as you mentioned, Bishop Poole, we have to let God know about it. And then once we do that, the Bible says, love your enemies. Bless those
yes.
that curse. Do good to those that hate you. Pray for them that despitefully use you. When we start giving to our enemy, giving to that person who we perceive as our enemy, giving
mm-hmm.
to that person, then that's that action you were talking about and the other gentleman was talking about, in that I'm stepping over the wall. There's a wall here. It's a wall dividing us. When I
right.
give to the person, when I write a letter to the person, the letter may come back, but I continue to write, I continue to write, I continue to write, I continue to call, I continue to stretch out my hand. At some point, God's going to make that person say, wait a minute, let me answer this person. Because what you're doing is we're penetrating a wall. We're knocking down a wall that has been established by the enemy. That's the devil who put that wall up and said, don't forgive. But by our actions, as you're talking about, by those actions, we are dismantling that wall, brick by brick, stone by stone, until it's no more there.
Right. Okay. God bless you. I thank you for calling again.
Thank you, Bishop.
Okay. It's very good because my mind fell on a situation when I was on a mission, another country, and we took some pictures, and this gentleman, he was so upset we took his picture. So upset, took his picture. Oh, what you taking my picture? What you taking my picture? And the spirit fell on me. It's like, go get the food. We had some food in the widow's house, and we were staying there, and we got the food, and I brought it out and gave it to him, and he just melted down. He said, oh, thank you, thank you. And he would say, you know, just let me know next time. Just let me know next time. Giving, Proverbs say, when you give to your enemy, it heaps coals. He coals of fire upon his head. And the widow lady said, well, you know, he just had problems. He's been problems. He lost this. He lost that, having problems. He's just a bitter person. But it had to be God to lead you to give, something like that. So when you give, giving, you know, to people that you know is against you, things that happen, you know, giving is powerful. Giving is powerful. And you know, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Faith and action, your action create faith. And James said, I show you my faith. You have to do something. And that also relieves, as a part of venting, you know, you do something. Go walking. I know that's part of a therapy that they use for people that's, you know, challenged. You know, they take them and walk them. They go walking when they're very disobedient and unruly. You know, see the instructor be walking them, you know, around the field. Say, okay, you do walk. You know, you walk a while. They walk them a while until they cool off. You know, we have to do something. Walking, exercise also is workable. Relieves the stress. Praying is also is workable today to relieve the stress and the pain and the hurt. You know, so these things are workable today. They are workable. But whatever we do, you know, let's do something. You know, we have to do. We have to do. You know, show your faith. You know, do. If you like to write to us, we'd be glad to have letters or email from you. And our website is www.jciministries.org. www.jciministries.org. Yes, and if we have another caller, you can be on the air. We have another caller. You're on the air. Caller, you're on the air. Hello? 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 Yes, go right ahead. Hello? Okay, the line is... Hello? I can't pick you up too well. Hello? 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 Okay, we have to call back. We don't have a clear line for you right now. You're breaking up. Call back again. We have a website. It's www.jciministries.org. www.jciministries.org. And if you'd like to write to us, we have another caller. Caller, you on air? Okay. If you'd like to write to JCI M Doctrine of Truth, JCI M Doctrine of Truth, P.O. Box 25888. P.O. Box 25888. Tamarack, that's TAMARAC, Florida 33320, USA. P.O. Box 25888, Tamarack, Florida 33320, USA. And you can find us on, if you like, on Facebook, www.facebook.com/JesusChrist/internationalministries.inc. You can find us on Facebook and join our page at www.facebook.com/JesusChristInternationalMinistries.inc. You can subscribe on YouTube, www.youtube.com/user JCI Ministries. God bless you today. We thank you for it. I appreciate all your calls to share. We're praying that always that someone can benefit from the call. And I was sharing today the doctrine of truth. We want to find the truth. There's so much disinformation. Jesus said there be many, many, not just one or two, but many false doctrine, many false prophets. Must very much also everywhere disinformation, false information, disencouraging spirits, jealous spirits. But we have to work through it. What? Practice, practice, practice. Practice praying. Practice loving one another. Practice walking away, you know, because unforgiveness dries the bone. It dries up your spirit. People can see it all on your face, and it affects your heart. And let's think about it. Maybe we get together again tomorrow sometime. We'll be probably about the same time tomorrow. We thank God for Blog Talk Radio allowing us to come in and share with you. Let's think about it. What about all these heart problems and, you know, health problems that we're having? Is it related to unforgiveness? Is it related that, you know, we feel no one cares, nobody desiring to, you know, to be in your company? You know, evaluate that. Why don't you evaluate? See where the source is coming from. Find out who's bringing this information to you. You know, open up your eyes and see where it's coming from. The enemy desire to just, Jesus said, to sift us as wheat, to destroy us. And Jesus come that we might have life, God's Son, that we might have it more abundantly. That's what the cross is about. He carried our problems. He came to mend and to heal. He knows all about this, what you're going through. We should take another look at Jesus, take another look at his doctrine, what he's teaching, and we have to love and forgive one another. Today, we appreciate you calling. We appreciate you sharing. And, you know, Bible said, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, you know, let his word be established. And through the callers and through all the listeners, we're hoping and praying that you can understand now that you're not in this by yourself. One thing, you know, the world or the enemy want to isolate you and say, oh, you're the only one who wants to... You're the only one going through, but you're not on the only one. God bless you. This is the Doctrine of Truth. Bishop Poole, your host, thank you for calling in. If you would like to email us, seniorbishop@jciministries.org. Jesus Christ International Ministries.org. And again, we're praying. Father, we thank you for the listeners. Lord, we thank you for those that are in our hearing. You say faith come by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. Lord, stretch your hand upon and heal the broken hearts today. Mend up broken spirits. Oh, God, we know joy. Joy, joy. You know, things, trouble can happen in the night, but joy come in the morning. Let this understanding be among you today, our listeners, that we share, that you can find joy, joy in this situation. Because Jesus, as long as he lives, we can face tomorrow. Face it with Christ, and be assured that you're not alone. God bless you. Jesus said, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the world. This is Doctrine of Truth. Bishop Poole, signing off.